Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
Let me start by saying that there is a law of learning, before we get into Romans 4. And what the law of learning says, it says for truth to be taught, it must be learned through truth that is known. Law of learning. For truth to be taught, it has to be taught through truth that is already known. Now that may sound real technical, but let me just say it like this. There's no way for a two-year-old to be taught calculus if they don't already have prior knowing. You can't just jump right into calculus at two. There's a lot of learning and a lot of knowing that has to have occurred before you can get to that. I think it's real important to say that because Romans 4, the entire chapter, revolves around one illustration. And that one illustration is Abraham. Well, you say, what's so important about that? And here's why, because the Jewish community had a knowing of Abraham, Father Abraham, not the song, Father Abraham. They had the concept. So you start talking about the new covenant, and Paul's wanting to teach about the new covenant, but he had to use something that was already known. And the story of Abraham, they knew. That was a Jewish nation understanding. It's what the whole nation was built on. So it was a perfect illustration for them to understand what Romans 4 was talking about. Now, before we get into Romans 4, we go back to Romans 3, which Melanie taught on last week. And Paul writes that we're made right with God through faith. Not obeying the law, but through faith. And that was in chapter 3, when Paul said that, you got to know all of them are like, whoa, what do you mean we're made right by faith and not the law? Because for 4,000 years, their understanding was they're made right by following the law. And then Paul comes and says, well, you're not made right by following the law, you're made right through faith. And so it was a new concept. And Paul had mentioned that in chapter 3, which again, the chapters were added later, but he was talking about it, and then we are going to be studying tonight in chapter 4 that he was going to use Abraham's story to show them what he had just wreaked their havoc upon their understanding of why they're made right. Well, let me show you Abraham and you'll understand. That's kind of what he was talking to them about and getting them to understand that they couldn't live perfect in obedience to the law and be right with God. Although that's all they had been taught. So no one could earn the right to be in the presence of God. Now they knew, and you've probably studied this and you remember as I'm preaching to a Wednesday night crowd, the only ones who could enter God's presence were the priests. And they would go in on the behalf of the people. And they were just really hoping that they were in right standing when they go in. In fact, you can read where they sewed and put bells on them and tied a rope around their leg. And so they knew when they'd go into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies that they were alive and okay as long as they could hear the bells. But the second they didn't hear the bells, nobody was going to go in and get them. They'd have to pull them back out because they weren't going to find themselves in that same predicament. So everybody understood the significance of being in right standing, and if you weren't, you were in trouble. And so Paul was saying, I want you to get this. And they're going, well, how are we going to be made right with God? We're all having trouble keeping it. The Jewish nation knew that. We're all having trouble keeping it. And we today ought to understand we're all having trouble keeping it. We have expectations on ourselves, on each other, and we fail, and we're like, oh, this isn't working for me. But you got to understand, while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. You didn't get yourself right, he did. Romans 3, 27, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it's based on faith. So we're made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. A lot of chapter 3 was showing each one of them and each one of us that the principle that we live by is faith, and that you're made right with God because of what Jesus did. And then he uses Abraham as the example. So Paul's got this all set up, and he starts verse 4, and he goes, hey, guys, now he didn't say it like this, but this is kind of what I'm imagining. Remember Abraham? Remember Abraham? And they're like, yeah, we got Abraham. We understand. So chapter 4, verse 1. Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? That's a good question after chapter 3. What did Abraham discover about this? Verse 2. If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. No one can say, no one could say, hey, look what I've done. I mean, they were tying a rope around the ankle of the priest going in because he didn't know if he was going to be able to make it out of the presence of God. So no one could get in there. No one could say, look what I've done. However, we got a lot of people who like to point to all they've done. And they did then. Thank you, God, that I'm not like this tax collector. Come on, story after story. Thank you, God, that I'm not like that prostitute. I've kept the Sabbath. There was a lot of boasting going on by those who said they were in right standing. And the fact is, they didn't, nor do we have anything we can boast about. John 8, you don't have to turn there. A woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus was proving this point right here. He's saying, whoever of you that have no sin, why don't you start this whole thing off and let you start stoning her? Whichever one of you guys don't have any sin, then you go ahead and pick up the first stone. And what they were doing is they were going, well, which one's going to do it first? Because we all understand we haven't followed the law. And one by one, they left. I want to go on record tonight. I've done a lot of things pretty well. But those things are what we all want to talk about and what people talking to us about. And anybody could have said that. I've done some things pretty well. I mean, look at me. But because we all have those areas that we haven't done real well, it negates all the things you did do real well. That's going to put you in right standing, because the things aren't going to put you in right standing because we've all messed up. All have sinned. Romans 3:23, read last week. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of them were perfect. None of us are perfect. Now, I have a hard time. I just will say tonight, I have a hard time with preachers who act like they're closer to God than their parishioners. That's hard for me, because that's just not the case, that they're in a different place than any one of us. We're all in the same place. We have different areas of gifting. And I want you to know, just tonight as we're talking about this, I appreciate and love and I'm okay with when people call me Pastor Ashley. But that's not something that I have an expectation of. I mean, let's just be real. Because I have a gifting in the area of pastoring, people will call me Pastor Ashley, and I'm fine with that. I appreciate the respect that young people are taught in that. But let's just be real. I'm not calling you Plumber Bill, Secretary Susie. I didn't really expect that to be that fun. We're not one of us in a better place than the other. It's only that we've accepted what Jesus did. Now, I'm happy to get in agreement with you and pray about something. I'm all good with that. But please don't ever think just because I'm pastor that I have a better access to God than you do. Because that's not the case. We have access, and we all do, because of Jesus. And the second we mention his name, not one person gets to him quicker. It's Jesus that gets us access. Not Pastor Ashley, Pastor whoever, not Plumber. It's all because of Jesus. It's Jesus that gets us access. Now, once again, let's get in agreement. Let's pray. I'm not against praying. I'll pray with you about anything. But please don't ever think that I am the voice of God. Because I am not. I'm not the voice of God. The Word is the voice of God. And we've got to always be very careful there. So, what are we boasting about? Nothing. We all have sinned. So the Jews kind of start being told this by Paul, and they're like, okay, well, help me figure out then how to live. And he's like, Abraham, verse 3, for the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. How we're made right with God is our faith. Right standing all happens through faith. Misunderstanding happens a lot in the Christian world. And I'm amazed at how this is so real in Christians' lives even today, and we have to fight it. See, it is true, keeping the law is not the way that you're accepted by God. Keeping the law doesn't get you an acceptance. That's not what happens. But also hear this. It never says that you don't have to keep the law. Now think that through, because I could be misunderstood real quick here. It never says anything about don't worry about keeping the law. It just says that the law doesn't make you right. Jesus makes you right. Therefore, keep the law. Keeping the law is not going to get you into a position, but it will lead to a blessed life. I mean, verse 5, people are counted as righteous not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Accepting Jesus' sacrifice and forgiveness of our sin, and then you are right. But know this, keep the law, and then in your right standing, you can get to blessed. Our day works for us when we're obedient to the law. It just does. Life gets better. Your life will unravel when you walk into disobedience of the law. You want to be disobedient to the law, and you're going to be frustrated. I'm not trying to get my acceptance through the law, but because I've got my acceptance, I therefore keep the law and I live blessed. It's just an easy way to say it. Apostle Paul in verses 7 and 8, he quotes Psalm 32. He says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Think about that. We sang about it. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Well, who's the house of the Lord? His people. We're the building. We are his people. There's joy in the house. For those that think joy comes a different way, it doesn't. I want you to think about this. There is joy for those who have been forgiven. But here's what happens. We kind of get this messed up, and we go, wait, there's joy for those who just got a new house. There's joy for those who just got a new car. There's joy for those who have all the money that you've ever wanted. And it just keeps flowing. I can't even tell you. It just keeps coming. I'm joyful. No, that's not what it says. Joy is when your disobedience is forgiven. Joy is when your sins are put out of sight. Joy is when your record is cleared. Come on, every one of us needs that. And we think we're going to get it based on living by the law, and the law will give you blessings, but joy doesn't come from the blessings of life or by living by the law. Joy comes because we've been forgiven. Every day we should be living by joy. I'm not happy about some of the things that happen in my life or that happened in my life. But how can you have a bad day when you realize you've been forgiven? I can tell you how you have a bad day: when you're not living forgiven. You're living based on, well, I did this today. That's not going to bring you joy. I got this today. We're not talking about what just came into your possession. What happened 2,000 years ago, and you accepted that, you live forgiven. Therefore, joy becomes a product of who you are in life. We don't live in joy because there were no flat tires today in our life. Now, I'm not saying that nothing ever goes wrong, because things go wrong. Nothing just went my way today. It was just a horrible day. Well, I get that. Well, my car's not running. I don't know what I'm going to... That should not be... If it was running, I'd be joyful. No. We've got to get to a place where we're not looking for joy outside of forgiveness. Now let's dive deeper in here. People make comments. Pastor, you just have no idea how bad I've messed up. Well, can I welcome you to Christian Ministries Church's covenant this year that we're talking about, the new covenant? The new covenant, no matter how bad you messed up, the good news is we're not under the old covenant. We're under a new covenant. It has nothing to do, your life has nothing to do with the number of divorces you've had, the number of days you've spent in jail, how many abortions you've had, how many drugs you have taken, what you did when you're in college that you just hope nobody finds out about. It's not about how many people you've killed. I don't care how bad your list is, the new covenant is not based on that. And I know you're like, well, duh. Well, that's what Paul's telling them about, and he needs us to know it. You bring your past to the Lord. You lay it at his feet. Lord, I have messed my whole life up. I'm embarrassed about it. I want you, God, to be the Lord of my life. And today I totally surrender the lordship of my life to you. And I bury who I was, and I'm raised to a new life because of what Christ did. Come on, that's how we live. And if we're not living that way, then we're expecting circumstances to produce for us what circumstances never were to produce for us. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Boy, the Bible just full of illustrations here of Romans chapter 4. There are outward and physical things we do. But those outward and physical signs of things that we do are just signs that you've been made right with God. That's all they are. They're a sign that you've been forgiven. They're a sign that God has accepted you. Romans 4, verse 11, he addresses this. And he uses Abraham again. Circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous, even before he was circumcised. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteous because of their faith. Abraham had a physical outward example of circumcision, but the outward sign didn't make him right with God. In fact, he was right before the outward sign. Now I want you to get this. What happens inside of you then reflects as a sign what happens on the outside of you. The inside changes, and then what you're doing on the outside then becomes, oh, that's a sign of what happened on the inside. But the inside takes place and you're made right before you ever have this. People are trying to get all cleaned up before they come to God. You get cleaned up and then the signs will show that you're cleaned up. And what a great picture. We raise our hands in worship not to be made right with God. We volunteer and serve in the church, and none of that makes you right with God, but because you've been made right with God, you serve in the church. Verse 18, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Abraham lived by faith. He kept hoping and he kept believing for years. What did he keep hoping and what did he keep believing? There was no reason for hope, but Abraham kept hoping and believing. What did Abraham keep hoping and believing? He kept hoping and believing what God had said. It's that simple. He kept hoping and he kept believing what God had said. I love this. What his hope was and what he kept believing was only what God had said, not what he could see. What had God told Abraham? That you're going to have a son. That you're going to have generations after you that are going to be blessed. In fact, they're going to be so numerous, you won't even be able to count them, like the sands of the sea, the stars. It's going to be amazing, Abraham. See, he knew what God had said. Now, we're not talking about Abraham here. We're just using him as the example to teach us how to live in the new covenant. Here's what Abraham did in verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. His story was that every year he never wavered. In fact, he grew stronger in what he believed. He was fully convinced. He never wavered. That's got to be our story. The example that was given of Abraham, even when there's no reason to hope, we know God's promise. There's no reason. I don't see anything that can give me any. I've seen my checkbook. I know what it says, and there's an issue there. I've seen the doctor's report, and you just don't even understand what the doctor's just told me. I see the condition in my marriage right now, and I'm just telling you, there's just no. I see the month way longer than I saw the money. The money's gone, and I still got a month left. But we don't live based on what we see. We live based on what God promises. Because here's why. What I see is not the final word. That's not the final word. We start putting these expectations like, I'm not seeing it, I'm just not seeing it, I'm just not seeing it. Well, let me tell you what Abraham could see. Abraham could see his age. He could also see his wife's age and how old her womb was. But know this, that wasn't the final word. See, God's final word, Abraham knew, was God's promise. You're going to have so many descendants. And he was living based on the promise, not what he saw. This may not mean anything to anyone, but I've been around long enough to know that the Pentecostal movement years ago started kind of going out in this area that was a dangerous place. It's like saying, and I understand the power of words and all of this, but I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, and your fever was 105. I'm not sick, I'm not sick, but you have 105 degree fever. You never read anything in Scripture about Abraham saying, I'm not old, I'm 19, I'm 20. Sarah's, I'm telling you, she's just as beautiful. And I look at her and she's 20. Everybody sees her. So that's not what happened. Yes, you have 105 degree temperature and you're sick. However, the thermometer is not the final word. See, we've got to live understanding some things, and we got to get an understanding of the promises of God, because the promises of God are the final word. And so what you start having come out of your mouth has to be the word of God, the promise of God, not what you see. We're trying to change the words of what we see to our words of what we want. And it's not about what you want, it's about what God promised. And so we start learning the promises, and the life of faith is then how we live because we know the promises of God. Boy, Abraham demonstrated this. He understood the promises of God, and he never wavered. So what we say is, when we're sitting there with 105 degree temperature, I'm walking in health. Why? Because he made me well, and it's by his stripes that I am healed. And I can know that, and I start walking in what I know his promise is. Let me just tell you right now, your bank balance is not the final word. Well, what am I going to do about that? You start spending less than you make. You start applying some biblical principles to your finances. And then the final word will be the promise of God. But we want all this stuff to happen instantly. And God works on you living according to his word, knowing that the final word is his. And you just do it and do it and do it until it comes. The life of faith. I am walking in health because he made me well. Abraham did not deny his age. He just knew his age was not the final word. Abraham is what the religious Jews knew about. So when God said something, what he was saying is, hey, guys, I want you to know. Paul's telling him, hey, guys, I want you to know God is the final word. And you can look at Abraham and see that. I have to fill my life full of what God said. Every day, you got to know this, every day of Abraham's life had to be lived based on what God said. Otherwise, he'd have folded. And you need the word to be your final word in every area of your life. And I do too. God said, I won't be begging for bread. Okay, that's God's final word. So therefore, that's what I claim when I'm looking at my bank account. I'm not going to be out begging for bread. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't need all that. But by faith, I won't be out begging for bread. So now I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I'm going to do everything he's told me to do. I'm going to spend less than I make. I'm going to keep believing God. I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to stand on God's promises. I stand on the word. We've got to stand on the word. You've got to know the word to stand on it. How would you go stand on that stage? Well, tell me where it's at. For me to stand here, I had to know where it was. Can y'all get up and stand on your chair real quick? No, don't do that. You'll have to know that you have a chair to stand on. People can't stand on the promises of God when they don't have them in them. That's why it's imperative that we're in church learning the promises. That's why it's imperative that you're in your word learning the promises. That's why when we have Bible studies, we ought to have people signing up in there. I mean, it's important. Well, I don't have one I can be a part of. Well, then start one. Let's get the word in us. Why? Because we need the promises in us so that we're living by faith, not by sight. Last thing I want to talk about tonight. God doesn't do things for just one person. That's what he was telling them about Abraham. He said, this will be the blessing that extends to your descendants and your descendants' descendants and just on and on. He didn't just do it for God. Let me just tell you, since he's using Abraham as the example, that wasn't just Abraham. God doesn't do anything in your life for just you. He's going to do it for everyone that comes in contact with you, for your kids, for your kids' kids, for generations to come. Life will be different. Life will be different. I have a couple in Kansas City that I've ministered to for years. And 25 years ago, I did a marriage thing at their church. And they were just telling me this, the end of last year, they were just telling me, had it not been for us coming to that one marriage conference, we wouldn't be married today. And because we came to that one marriage conference, all of our kids are married, and they've got some things figured out in life. They're all in church. And you know what? We're going to have grandkids that are going to have that. And not only that, we now lead all of the young marrieds in our church and generations of people for the last 25 years. That's what they were telling me this last year. It really arrested me. I mean, it was like, whoa. You got to know, I'm thrilled my marriage got fixed. And we still have to work on it every day and claim the promises of God because she's her and I'm me. But you can know this. We will continue to work on it because we see the significance of every person that we come into contact with, just like Abraham. It's no different. You're no different than Abraham. Come on, your descendants. That blessing's on you because God proclaimed it. It's a promise of His. That's why it's important for you to live by faith. Well, I'm not seeing it right now in my kids. What you see right now is not the final word. Come on, we've got to get this. Abraham understood God's benefits, and we need to understand. You and I are probably not even kind of aware, I wasn't until last year, of how many people will be affected by you living the life of faith. And the only way you can live the life of faith is to have the word so in you that regardless of what comes up in this life, you can proclaim God's promise as the final word, not your circumstances. Boy, isn't Romans 4 good? It's a great thing to study and to get a part of and to live out in life. We'll be reading in Romans 4 right now. So just keep reading about some of the things I said tonight. God will bring that back up to you. Get that in you. And then read Romans 5 and get ready for the next and ready for the next. As we're going through Romans this year, it's just a great indicator of how to live life under the new covenant.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.